Thanks so much for joining in today on WPR News. It's a health day, and for the next hour, we'll be talking with you about shingles and how you can avoid this painful infection or how to deal with it if you've had it or have it. Our guest, Dr. Laura Feli, is an infectious disease physician. She's at Amplify Health in La Crosse. And as we talk with her, I hope you'll join in. Tell us about your experience with shingles, maybe what helped you find relief. Questions about it, give a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dr. Laura Feli, welcome to the show.
Hi, Larry. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start out with a definition, perhaps. What exactly is shingles and what causes it?
Yeah. So shingles is caused by the virus that causes chickenpox. So typically what happens for adults born before 1980, and that 99% of people will have had chickenpox at some point in their life. The thing to know about the herpes zoster virus, varicella zoster virus, or VZV as we call it, it's a herpes virus. So it's the same sort of group of viruses like cold sores. So once you have chickenpox, similar to cold sore, they kind of the virus sort of goes throughout your body and takes root in your nerves. And there it can lie dormant for many, many years, for decades, until something changes in your immune system and the virus wakes back up. And when the virus wakes back up, it travels down along the nerve root to the skin, and that's where it causes that really characteristic painful rash.
Yeah, and I haven't had it myself, thankfully. I had the vaccinations for it, but I have friends who have had it, and it's miserable. You're an infectious disease physician. What does your day-to-day job look like?
Oh, yeah, my day-to-day job, it kind of varies. Some weeks I see mostly outpatients, and those are people who come to me with clinical concerns like HIV or sort of mysteries like recurrent respiratory infections or hospital follow-ups. And then some weeks I'm in the hospital, and in the hospital, teams ask me specific questions about infectious diseases, so like post-surgical infections or management of a patient with a complicated pneumonia. What I love about infectious disease is the variety of things that I see. So it always keeps you on your toes, and it's always very exciting.
It sounds like it. What's been your experience with treating shingles in your role at Amplify?
Oh, yeah. So honestly, by the time most primary care providers are really familiar with uncomplicated shingles, so I don't actually see a lot of that. I mostly see complicated shingles infections, which are a small fraction of shingles cases, but they can get very serious and pretty devastating. So, for example, the thing I see, the form of complicated zoster I see the most is probably the neurologic manifestations. So if you think about the shingles virus living in the nerve, most of the time it sort of extends outward to the skin, but sometimes it can also travel backwards and affect the central nervous system. And then you see things like meningitis or encephalitis. People coming in, often they had sort of the characteristic rash. They didn't think much of it. Then they started acting different. Their family noticed they were confused. They were spiking high fevers. Then they come in, they get a lumbar puncture, and we find evidence of the shingles virus in their cerebrospinal fluid. So that's very serious, and that requires treatment with intravenous antivirals. And that's frequently the type of patients I see.
Cindy in Park Falls has a question for you, so let's go there. Cindy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hello. Usually we get a vaccine to avoid getting a disease like the flu. How does the shingles vaccine work if you already have the virus?
Yeah, that is an excellent question. So basically what the vaccine does is that it bolsters your immune response to the varicella zoster virus, or VZV, the shingles virus. I'm kind of using those all interchangeably. So shingles becomes much more prevalent as we get older, much more common. And the reason for that seems to be that we lose our immunity to the initial chickenpox infection we got when we were kids. So basically, it's recommended that people get the Shingrix vaccine after 50 if they have a normal immune system, earlier if they have problems with their immune system, to sort of bolster that immunity and prevent the virus from waking back up and causing this rash.
I'm wondering, I had two shots for it, mm-hmm. just to go along with what Cindy was talking about there. And why do you need a second dose?
It's basically to just sort of provide a boost. So the first wakes your immune system back up. The second really reinforces it. To be honest with you, I'm not really I don't know much more than that. I'm not really a vaccine expert, but we do know that that second dose is really important, and it's good to get it within 2 to 6 months of that first shot.
Yeah, I think I went a little touch longer than that, but
that's all right.
And as I recall, I had a little discomfort, but it wasn't bad.
Tolerate it pretty well from what I've heard. There's sometimes you can get some local irritation or inflammation, you know, your arm hurts, you don't want to move it. Sometimes like 10%, I was seeing up to 10% of people might have sort of more systemic symptoms, just feeling unwell or kind of icky. And that typically goes away in 1 to 3 days. So it's a short time that you'll be feeling gross. And when you think about shingles, one of the real complications is this thing called post-herpetic neuralgia, which is pain that can last upwards of 90 days after a shingles infection. So I view it as just a very small investment of your time overall to prevent some real misery later on.
Yeah, and it gave me a good excuse for a not-so-good round of golf because my arm was sore.
That'll do it.
Martha in Menominee, it's your turn. Hi, Martha.
Thank you for this. You know, for me, what happened was I woke up on a Friday with a headache like I had an axe buried in my forehead. And the problem was I didn't have a rash I could see. So I went to the emergency room after taking, you know, every headache thing and all day long, and I couldn't. And they gave me something for the headache. There was no rash I was aware of, so I went home, went back Saturday, same thing. As soon as the headache medicine wore off, I literally thought I had a bullet in my brain. And then it took 3 trips to the emergency room. On the third day, they called in the head of the emergency department, because it was on a weekend. He walked in, and I said, you know, I have this little rash on my hairline by my scalp that kind of hurts. And none of the doctors could figure it out. This is in Menominee at Mayo Clinic. Mm-hmm. And the head of the emergency room walked in, looked at my rash, looked at my chart, said, yep, it's shingles, turned around and walked out. And then the
oh my.
Treated me. But, you know, it was a weekend crew, you know, the younger mm-hmm. staff. And sure. I didn't have a rash I could show them, so it wasn't their fault.
Yeah. That's a thing we do see is that sort of prodromal pain, the pain in the skin that I think it up to 72 hours before the rash appears, you can see that pain. So yeah, if you've never had shingles before and you've never experienced it can be really upsetting and really hard to diagnose. So I'm glad they were able to get to the bottom of that eventually. My goodness.
Thanks, Martha, for calling. Appreciate it. Well, once you have it, mm-hmm. are you stuck with it?
Well, there are things you can do to try to shorten the duration. So really, if you start noticing pain in one sort of strip, because the typical shingles rash occurs in strips throughout your body called dermatomes, and that's the area of skin, you know, innervated by a single nerve. So if you start noticing pain or you start noticing the beginning of a rash that's quite painful, the best thing you can do is get to a doctor as soon as possible, because if you're able to start oral antivirals within 72 hours, that can decrease how long you got the rash for, and it can also potentially help with the pain. So being vigilant and not being shy about talking to your doctor if things just aren't feeling right is really the way to go, I think.
Dana emailed us. She has Guillain-Barré syndrome, or had mm-hmm. it as a child, and now she's told she's unable to take flu shots or shingles vaccine.
Yeah.
And she's wondering, will any drug company make these shots in a more acceptable medium for someone like me?
God, I would. That's a great question, and I would love that, because that is one of the contraindications for the shingle shot is a history of Guillain-Barré. I think that's an area where, like, you should probably talk to your doctor about it. It's not an absolute contraindication, but I'm certainly not saying that if you have Guillain-Barré, you should go out and get vaccinated. Like, it's a very tough question. And, yeah, I think really what we need is just more research and, you know, newer and better vaccines.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's a tough one for sure.
Sandy emailed, she's 60 years old this year. Pretty sure she didn't have chickenpox when she was a kid. Asked two doctors if she should get the shingles vaccine since she doesn't think she had chickenpox. One doctor didn't know and said, that's a good question. The other went online and said it should be okay. Sandy Googled it, and the site said no.
Oh, geez, that's so confusing.
She does have HSV-1. Should she get the chickenpox vaccine? Should she get the shingles vaccine? She has a couple autoimmune disorders and vestibular hypofunction, so she has balance and visual disturbances, so she's leery of potential side effects.
Yeah, that is a really complicated situation. As I think I mentioned at the beginning, you know, even if you're not just because there was so much chickenpox when we were growing up, you know, or before 1980, you know, that there is about a 99% chance that at some point in your life you were exposed to chickenpox and you did have it. Some places will say you can check serology, so basically checking to see if you have an antibody response. But the problem is, as we get older, that antibody response diminishes, so that test might not be reliable either, you know. I guess from my perspective, when people are in that age group, I do recommend that they get the vaccine. I think that it's very low risk and potentially very high reward, just given how miserable shingles is. You know, it sounds like she's got a lot medically going on, so I commend her for talking to her doctors and getting different opinions, you know, and obviously I can't give her specific medical advice without knowing her. But I think for most cases, you know, even if people aren't sure that they had a history of chickenpox, if they're over the age of 50, it's a good idea to get the shingle shot.
Carol in Crandon has a question for us. Let's go there. Hi, Carol.
Oh, hi. My question is this. I'm 82 years old, and a long time ago, I got the one dose shingle vaccine. And then recently, and I just had, you know, normal sore arms and tiredness, I decided to increase my coverage for shingles, and I got my first of the two vaccinations on October 6th of 2023. I had the usual sore arms and tiredness. That went away. My concern was I had an extremely sore throat for about 5 or 6 days. And that did go away, but I've never had that with the vaccination before. I'm hesitant to get the second dosage.
I'd
like some
advice on that. And it's been about 2 years, 2023, or a year and a half at least. What do you think, Dr. Feli?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting one because, you know, certainly people can get all sorts of symptoms post-vaccine. Sore throat is not typically one that we see, and certainly not one lasting for 5 to 6 days. So there's a part of me that wonders, like, could you have just gotten unlucky and gotten, like, an upper respiratory infection that sort of presented at that time? I think it would be fine for you to get the second shot, just because even if it was related to the vaccine, typically post-vaccine symptoms are much less severe with the booster shot. So I think it would be safe. I do understand your concern, but I think you're going to tolerate it okay.
Dr. Laura Feli is an infectious disease physician at Amplify Health in La Crosse. Great to have her with us. And you can join in, too. Love to hear from you. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Thanks so much for joining in today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. Thursday, April 17th, I hope you'll join us from 11 to noon for our next virtual book club meeting. We're talking with Wisconsin author Kevin Kleisner about his latest novel. It's titled A Killer's Terms, a thriller about an FBI agent who's tracking down the person who tried to murder his girlfriend. Story is set in Milwaukee, and there's still time to read it. And I hope you can join us. Again, that's Thursday, April 17th on WPR News. Right now, we're talking about shingles with Dr. Laura Feli, an infectious disease physician at Amplify Health in La Crosse. And number of callers online. Let's go to Deborah in Middleton next. Deborah, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. When the first round of COVID shots came out, I was trying to be the first one in line. And I got the vaccine. And then during the course of the next 2 weeks, I had headaches. I had a rash on my face. And I thought I'd been bitten by a spider. Yeah, right. So I finally went into urgent care because I really was in a lot of pain on my face and head. And the doctor walked in and said, shingles, and walked back out. And it was too late for me to get the antiviral because I'd already toughed it out so long. But I did have to go and see an optometrist to make sure there weren't any lesions on my eyes. And I went, and he asked me if I'd had the COVID shot within the last 2 weeks. And I said, yes, I had. And he said, you're the fourth person I've seen this morning with shingles on your face. So my question is, has there been some kind of substantiation to the fact that and I'm not suggesting anyone not get the COVID vaccine, get the COVID vaccine, but is there any kind of connection or has there been any kind of valid connection made between the shingles and the COVID vaccination? Thank you.
That's a really excellent question. I fully support the COVID shot. Totally agree. To my knowledge, there's not any specific connection between shingles and COVID vaccine specifically. What I will say is that it's known that any kind of perturbations or stress or anything sort of that has the potential to shake up your immune system a little bit can trigger an outbreak. So, you know, the COVID vaccine, you know, that it's triggering an immune response, you know, could that potentially have woken up the VZV virus, you know, potentially, you know. So I'm sorry you got in too late to get the antiviral. That's a very common story where people just kind of tough it out. But yeah, it's not uncommon.
Dale in Duluth, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Dale.
Hi, Larry. Really enjoy your shows when I get a chance to listen in, and this one in particular. I managed to acquire a really severe case of shingles in July of 2013. Mm. A really bad rash, mid-torso from spine to sternum. And it lasted for months. And in my case, I'm one of the lucky few, apparently, that a pain never has gone away.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's known as postherpetic neuralgia, and pretty much nothing to be done for it.
That's a really tough situation. Yeah, 10 to 15% of people get postherpetic neuralgia, and it is this constant, severe nerve pain. And, you know, unfortunately, you are right. To my knowledge, there's really not any, you know, proven treatment for it. You know, there's certainly things people will try. You know, some people will try gabapentin. I've heard of steroids being tried. I've heard of tricyclic antidepressants being tried, just really anything to try to modulate that nerve response. But unfortunately, there's just really nothing that seems good for it right now. I'm so sorry you've had that experience.
Yeah. I'm wondering, we were in the last hour, we were talking, physical therapy came up in the last hour. And I wonder if there'd be any reason why a physical therapist couldn't be helpful in maybe training the muscles to work in a little bit different way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly never against physical therapy. I think it's excellent, and I feel like it's underutilized. The problem with postherpetic pain is it's not really the muscles per se. It's residual sort of dysregulation from the nerve that was infected. So, you know, it's strengthening the muscle. You know, certainly that might help. You know, if you're
if you're compensating abnormally, you know, and muscle pain is just going to make that worse. But yeah, it's a really tough scenario.
Dale, good luck and thank you for calling. Brad in Stoughton, on to you now. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Doc. I currently have shingles on the right side of my head. I'm on about day 19, though. So, I mean, typical, had light headache, toughed it out on a Tuesday, finally went in on a Friday after I had broken out. They gave me antiviral starting on that Friday, and then went through the whole deal with the sores and the finally it getting. But I have a residual. I mean, it's still sore to the touch on the right side of my head. Tylenol knocks it back. Yes, lesions are gone. But it's still sore to the touch, and I still get that headache.
Yeah, that sounds, again, sort of like that residual nerve pain, you know. And hopefully yours is it. Would you say overall it's sort of getting better since when it was at its peak, or is it just sort of persisting?
Yes. No, it's better. It's better.
Good.
It's not as intense as it was.
But it's still there.
Yeah, better, but still there. Yeah, that unfortunately, the pain can definitely linger. My hope is that it slowly continues to reside and that trajectory you're on keeps improving. But yeah, it's there's not really a guarantee. That's why, you know, the best treatment for this, unfortunately, really is prevention, because as you've noticed, even if you do get the antivirals, sometimes that pain is still there and still persistent.
Brad, thanks for calling. Stephen in Eau Claire, we'll turn to you now. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, I've seen a lot of people with shingles. My wife, seen patients. I was in practice. And one of the things that I found that helped with the pain afterwards is low-level lasers.
That's really interesting. I've never heard of that.
Yeah, low-level lasers I found good results with. And not much else.
It's one of those areas where, you know, I'm pretty sure there's no studies about lasers and the efficacy of lasers, but the pain is just so severe and persistent that I say, you know, if you want to try it and it's not causing any harm, I don't see any harm in it.
Yeah, absolutely. Stephen, thanks for sharing that. Appreciate it. Wally in Hudson has a question. Hi, Wally.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. Interesting subject.
Thank you.
So my question is I've had Bell's palsy twice on each side of my face. Does that have any relationship to that shingles virus?
Interesting. So Bell's palsy, you can... Well, let me ask you, have you had any... of the characteristic rash with it or any of the pain with it, or is it just really the paralysis that you're dealing with?
It was just regularly the paralysis, and it just came on like all of a sudden.
Yeah, so you can definitely see the cranial nerves, and that's what Bell's palsy is a effect of the on the facial nerve. You can definitely see the cranial nerves involved with shingles. But there's a lot of things that cause Bell's palsy. Lyme disease can cause it. Sometimes it's idiopathic, meaning it just sort of happens spontaneously. So if you've not had the rash or any really other characteristic symptoms of shingles, I'm not really sure it's related or not. You know, it might be due, it might could be, but it probably is likely due to something else. But that's an excellent question.
Yeah, thanks, Wally. Appreciate it. Deborah in Madison, your turn. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, good afternoon. I've had shingles in the past, and I'm contemplating getting the vaccine, but I'm wondering if I don't get it and I were to get shingles again, would that outbreak happen in the same spot as before?
Great question. So no guarantees that it would happen in the same spot. It might, but it could also happen, you know, when you get chickenpox, it goes throughout your whole body. So theoretically, any sensory nerve could be infected and could break out in shingles. It's most common on the torso, back, and face, kind of like we're hearing from our callers. But yeah, it's not really like a cold sore where it always pops out in the same place. Shingles can pop out really, unfortunately, any place in your body.
And just to follow up on that, the fact that Deborah's had shingles, still it's worth it to get the shingles vaccine.
It is still worth it. So I would get the Shingrix vaccine. I'd recommend the two doses because, unfortunately, just because you've had it once, you know, doesn't mean you, it can't happen again. Typically, most doctors will recommend if you've had shingles like, you know, a couple months ago, we typically wait for a year to give you the shingles shot just because you do get a little bit of a transient bump in immunity from having that shingles outbreak. So we give it about a year later just to maximize the efficacy of that vaccine. But, yeah, it would still definitely be recommended for her.
Phyllis in Winona, Minnesota, called but couldn't stay with us. She's curious about the new research connection, and we've read a lot about this recently, the shingles vaccine to dementia prevention, that connection.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that's so fascinating. Yeah, there was just a study that came out. I'm sure this is what you're referring to, that in Wales, people who got the old formulation of the shingle shot, the Zostavax, were 20% likely to develop dementia over time. And I was looking into that, and apparently, like that effect is we still may be seeing that with the Shingrix, the new formulation, which it might even be a stronger impact on dementia. So I think this is really exciting stuff.
I do as well. It's great. Carol in New Richmond has a question. Carol, hi.
Hi there. I'm calling because I have a relative that recently recovered from shingles, and now she has just really bad anxiety. The rash is gone, and the pain is basically gone, but a lot of anxiety. And I guess the cardiologist told her that that is connected with that. Can you speak to that at all?
That's really interesting. You know, I have to admit to you, I haven't heard of post-shingles anxiety specifically, but there is definitely a connection between, you know, as I mentioned, the nerves are connected to the skin and to the central nervous system. So, you know, this is a little bit of an aside, and I'm sorry, a little bit of a wonky infectious disease things to comment on, but they've done studies that even on people with uncomplicated shingles, if you sample their cerebrospinal fluid, you can find the virus in there. So is it affecting your skin, but somehow also having an effect on like your central nervous system, your brain potentially manifesting as anxiety? I don't know, but it's really interesting, and I'm sorry she's dealing with that. That's really,
yeah, it's really, really tough.
You know, shingles outbreak, that's a lot to bear.
It is indeed. Carol, thank you for calling. I'm sorry for that, for those problems. Richard in Oak Creek, your turn. Hi Richard.
There. Hi. My question is concerning shingles. I've heard, and I know if this is true or not, that sometimes if you have long-term shingles, it can cause brain fog and also, in the long-term, in some intellectual decline. Is there any truth to that?
That's a great question. You know, I'm personally not familiar with that. I do have patients who have subjectively reported that to me. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if that were proven to be the case, but I think I don't know that there's enough research on that yet. I think that's definitely worth looking into, the long-term, you know, mental effects of having shingles.
Yeah. Richard, thanks for calling. And again, you can join in too. Number's 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Tony in Green Bay, your turn. Hi, Tony.
Hi. I am 36 years old, and I've had shingles three different times. Once when I was 20, once when I was about 24, and once when I was 32. And I was just wondering what your thoughts are on having it generally young, and what your thoughts are on me getting the vaccine.
First of all, I'm so sorry you've had that experience. And second of all, you're not alone. I definitely know a number of young people who have had shingles multiple times. I don't quite know why that is, to be honest with you. You know, I sometimes I wonder, like, is there a very they've again, getting on my wonky infectious disease hat a little bit, I apologize, but they've done studies showing that there are certain, like, very small mutations that render people a little bit more susceptible to the cold sore virus, herpes viruses. For young people who have recurrent shingles outbreaks like that, I do kind of wonder, like, could you have, like, an underlying very small change in your immune system that's triggering this? I would definitely recommend talking to your doctor about getting vaccinated. Like I said, it's for people with normal immune systems, it's over the age of 50, but people with you know, changes in their immune system, immunocompromise, we vaccinate as soon as 18 or older. So I think it's worth having a conversation with your primary care doc to see, like, could this potentially be interpreted or be due to immunodeficiency? And if that's the case, then, yeah, I would certainly get the shingle shot.
And we had earlier had a question about someone with Behçet's disease, which is an autoimmune, kind of a rare one for our state. But would that... and the person was 21 or 22. Would that person be wise to get a shingle shot even at an early age?
I think it's worth talking to the doctor, definitely. Like, people with Behçet, I don't know a ton about Behçet syndrome, but I know that they are frequently treated with steroids and immunomodulatory agents, and those can definitely increase your risk of a shingles outbreak. So even if they're very young, I think it's worth talking about and potentially worth pursuing.
Let's take another call. Nancy in Washburn, thank you for calling.
Yes, I had the shingles shot back in 2009. My question is, should I be getting these next two?
That's a great question. So my guess is that you probably got the old formulation with Zostavax, and that was a live vaccine. It was a little bit less... its effect tended to wane a little bit over time. And since you got that, you know, a decade or so ago, I think it would probably be worth reaching out to your primary care doc to, you know, talking about getting the new formulation. I think it's very likely to promote, you know, increased immunity to shingles. And I think that the risk of harm is very, very low. So, yeah, I think it's worth looking into.
All right, Nancy. Look into it. Jennifer in Menominee, Michigan, your turn. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
Great,
thanks,
appreciate
for taking
the call.
My call.
Sure.
Yeah, I had a stem cell transplant for multiple myeloma in 2020 and had gotten all these, you get all your vaccines, you get revaccinated from, you know, whatever, but I could not get the shingles vaccine or Shingrix because... And I am now currently on acyclovir twice a day. It was 800 milligrams for, like, the first couple months, and now it's 400 milligrams twice a day. And it's really a big pill, and I don't like to – well, anyway, it's just a pill. But is it still prohibited? I know they watch my ANC count a lot, and it's now I am off Revlimid. So my ANC is, like, 2.2 or something. But and I've asked – my myeloma doctor. Well, I've never really asked him if I could get that vaccine.
I would definitely ask him. You know, I'm glad to hear your ANC is popping back up after your stem cell transplant. That's huge. That's excellent. I know this is a little outside my area of expertise, but I know that people who have just received a stem cell transplant are maintained on a wide variety of prophylaxis afterwards, something like the antiviral that you're on. Sometimes I've seen antifungals before, stuff like that. So I don't really feel comfortable giving you advice about that, but I would definitely bring it up with your hematologist, because this is not a live vaccine. I think that's worth pointing out. It used to be a live vaccine, so people with organ transplants or stem cell transplants, you know, it wasn't recommended for them due to the risk. But this is not a live vaccine. It is safe in those populations. And, yeah, I think it's definitely worth having that conversation with them.
Jennifer, thank you. David in Park Falls, your turn. Hi, David.
Hi, how you doing today? I have a question. I had my shingles, and then I went in and my doctor gave me the two shots and all that. I'm 69-year-old male, of course, David, yeah. have they done any studies at all with like gummies, THC for anxiety? Because doesn't shingles re-flare up with anxiety or?
It says. Yeah, that's a great question. Anecdotally, I have heard people tell me that, you know, their shingles are precipitated by extreme stress, stressful periods in their life. You know, just again, anecdotally, a lot of my friends got it in medical school and residency, you know, when our exams came due. You know, I don't know if there's any studies that looking at, you know, anything to promote better anxiety control, you know, might have a beneficial effect on shingles, but there's so many factors that go into a shingles outbreak that I can't really say for sure, but I'm definitely a proponent of anxiety management. Though perhaps not with the CBD or the gummies.
Oh, David, thank you. Dr. Laura Feli is an infectious disease physician at Amplify Health in La Crosse. Great to have her with us. You're on WPR News. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining in today as we talk infectious diseases, zeroing in on shingles with our guest, Dr. Laura Feli, an infectious disease physician at Amplify Health in La Crosse. Join in. The number is 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. Christina in Glenwood City. We'll go to you now. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. Thank you. I've got two quick questions. First, I'm currently 67. I had shingles in the third grade. Am I more susceptible to getting that? And I have had both vaccines. And the other question is my spouse doesn't know whether he had chicken pox, so he doesn't know if you should get the shingles vaccine. What are your thoughts on that?
Great question. So to answer your first question, you know, if you've gotten the shingles shot already, I think your risk is quite low. And regarding your husband's question, 99% of people born before 1980 were exposed to the chickenpox virus just because it was so prevalent back then. So for most patients above that age group or in that age group, we just say just go ahead and get vaccinated, even if you're not sure.
There you go, Christina. Thank you so much for calling. Listener from La Crosse emailed, highly recommend getting the vaccine. 13 years later, they still have occasional symptoms that feel like claws grabbing the inside of their skin from inside their abdomen. In 2012, they just completed 9 months of cancer treatments when the rash and pain at their waistline began. Do shingles occur when the body has undergone surgery and stress to the body?
Absolutely, it does. Any kind of physical stress to the body, whether that be chemotherapy, whether that be surgery, any major insult to your immune system can precipitate a shingles outbreak. So unfortunately, that story that person is sharing is not uncommon. And I'm so sorry to hear they're dealing with symptoms that far down the line.
Saran in Racine, your turn. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for having my call. I just wanted to say that when I got shingles both times, once in the early 90s when there were no medications, and I had a homeopathic doctor that got me through it, and with the medications that were available with holistic pharmacies. And it's that both times when I got it, they were during high stress times. Even the second time, it was just one particular day that was extreme stress. But also, I connected, those were also times when I was highly deficient in nutrition and dehydrated.
Yeah, I mean, anything that puts your body under significant stress, whether that be emotional stress or physical stress, you are running the risk of that the shingles virus waking back up. So, yeah, that's a pretty classic story, and I'm sorry you've had it twice. That's unfortunate.
John was wondering, how contagious is shingles?
That's a great question. So, the classic rash of shingles are these sort of blisters that form and then break open. And there is chickenpox virus in that fluid. So if somebody who's never had chickenpox before, like a young kid, a baby, somebody who's severely immunodeficient,
comes in contact with that fluid, they can get chicken pox. So generally what we recommend is keeping your rash covered, not letting anybody touch it until the rash crusts over. Typically takes about 7 to 10 days for the rash to crust over. Once it's crusted over, everything is scabbed and there's no blisters, you're not considered infectious.
Barbie mailed us, is it possible to get shingles from receiving a flu shot?
So not directly, but sort of there's nothing in the flu shot that specifically triggers shingles, but it is, you know, sort of any alteration to your immune system. So for a flu shot, you know, you are activating your immune response, you know, you're building your immunity to the flu. It's a little bit of a physical stress, which is why we often feel a little bit achy and not great after a flu shot. Again, a little price to pay for a real huge benefit down the line. I think, again, this could fall into the category of like seemingly minor physical stresses that can precipitate an outbreak. So I would say if you're eligible for it, get a shingle shot too.
Elizabeth emailed us, is it okay for someone who's receiving a biological immunosuppressant like Enbrel or Humira to get the Shingrix vaccinations?
Yes, it absolutely is. So it used to be before 2020, the shingles vaccine we had, the Zostavax, that was a live vaccine, and it was a little bit contraindicated in people who had immunodeficiencies. But this new formulation is not a live vaccine. It's a recombinant vaccine, and that means that it's safe for people who are on the biologics. So, yes, I think that's just fine.
And why does the rash often appear in stripes? Only on the right side, or maybe it's only on the left side of the body?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's because the virus is living in these sensory nerves. And sensory nerves, if you looked at a human if you just looked at their nervous system, we almost look like jellyfish. You know, we've got all these nerves extending from our spinal cord out to our skin everywhere. And each sensory nerve basically covers a strip of skin. So when the shingles virus wakes up, it's a spontaneous event in one of those nerves. So the rash is only over that strip of skin that single nerve is affecting, or rather innervating. I will say, you know, you had asked me earlier about like what I see as an infectious disease physician. There are cases in which people can get disseminated shingles or disseminated zoster. And in that case, basically, that's somebody who has a very severe immunodeficiency. Their immune system is really, really depressed. The shingles basically can travel anywhere on the skin. It's not limited to that strip, and it can also infect the internal organs. So people can get very severe hepatitis or very severe pneumonia due to VZV or the shingles virus. So that's the most extreme form of this, and that can be fatal even if really aggressively treated. But for most people, it's just limited to that single nerve waking up, and it's just that one strip of skin.
Saranda and Racine called back to say that chamomile tea was of great relief to her shingles blisters. She used it as a topical solution.
I think that's great. I think as long as you're keeping it clean, because that is another problem that you can have sometimes with shingles is bacterial infection of the of the rash. So if you start having the shingles outbreak, but then it starts... It doesn't start crusting over. You start noticing a little bit of purulent drainage or the skin starts turning red. That's another time to go to your doctor just to make sure that you don't also have, unfortunately, a bacterial infection, insult to injury. But chamomile tea, that seems pretty low risk. So if that provides you with a little bit of symptomatic benefit, because very little else will, I think that's fine.
Yeah. And this whole business about it being near the eye, if you get a rash near the eye, it'd be hard to avoid touching it.
Yeah, it's really hard to avoid touching it, but it's important to do so. I guess the most important thing I would say is if you've got a rash near your eye, you do need to get checked out both by your doctor and by an ophthalmologist. Sometimes one of the more common complications is
entity called herpes zoster ophthalmicus. And basically, that's when the shingles starts to affect the nerves innervating your eye, and that can cause visual loss if it's not aggressively treated. So try not to touch it, but certainly if it's near your eye, don't take chances. Just go to your doctor, go to your eye doctor, get checked out.
Mary in Madison, your turn. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am a 39-year-old who had shingles on my face this year, and it was not in my eye, thank goodness, but it did go all the way from my lower jaw up to my scalp and in my ear. It was a pretty severe case. I am wondering about eligibility for the shingles vaccine and also concerned about the potential Guillain-Barré side effects because I did have some lingering nerve issues for quite a while.
Yeah, so first of all, I'm really sorry. That's a really unpleasant place to get shingles. That's unfortunate that you were dealing with it so young. In response to sort of your second question is, should I get the vaccine? I would definitely talk to your doctor about it. You know, as I mentioned, it's for people 50 and up, but if you have any history of immunocompromise or immunodeficiency, it can be given as for people over the age of 18. In response to your question about Guillain-Barré, that's kind of an interesting and tricky one. So there is concern that in some huge studies, slight increase in incidence of Guillain-Barré, which is basically an autoimmune, your immune cells start attacking your own nervous system, causing all sorts of really horrific symptoms and weakness and numbness and tingling. So it's associated very, very minutely with the shingles shot. But the problem is that shingles itself is also associated with Guillain-Barré. So I definitely favor the vaccine. I think that it's safe and the risk is very, very small. And there's a known pretty profound risk of neurologic complications of shingles in some people. So great questions.
Mary, there you go. Thank you so much. What about covering, if you've got some the rash, is it okay or should you keep it covered with some gauze or whatever?
Yeah, definitely keep the rash covered. The key is really making sure that nobody's coming into contact with your open sores because there is live shingles virus in there, the VZV virus. And also just because you want to decrease the possibility of bacteria getting into those open sores, because you can get these secondary bacterial infections of the rash, which are just as painful and, you know, need antibiotics to be treated. So keep it clean, keep it covered.
And how long typically does a rash last on your body?
Typically, most people will have the rash crust over by 7 to 10 days. It can take a little while for the scabs to fall off after that. Do not pick at them. Just leave them be. They will fall off on their own, even if they're ishy. But in a couple of weeks, most people will have full resolution of the rash.
I was remembering chickenpox days as kid when I scratched. My sister would never scratch. And, of course, she got some marks on her face, even though she never scratched, where I didn't get any. She was really mad about that.
Oh, gosh. That's too funny. Oh, man. Life is not fair.
Life is not fair. And if you got shingles, life it was not fair to you. Dr. Laura, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll have a chance to meet again.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Dr. Laura Feli, our guest, infectious disease physician at Amplify Health in La Crosse. And by way of full disclosure, we should mention that Amplify Health is one of Wisconsin Public Radio's many business sponsors. So thanks to them for that as well. And thanks to you for listening. This and other shows are a team effort. Our producers, Clara Neipert and Joel Patnaud, our technical directors, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. Just a quick mention, tomorrow on the show, we'll talk with our favorite outdoor writers. They're back to talk about current issues in nature and wildlife. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots in store. I'm Larry Mueller.